The following is a recording of the Maria Bologna teleconference with iAdvise on Tuesday, October 29th, 2013, at 11 a.m. Central Time. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Mega Cable conference call. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I will turn the call over to Maria Bologna of iAdvise Corporate Communications.
Thank you. Welcome to Megacable's third quarter 2013 conference call. We appreciate your participating with us today. At this time, I'd like to present Megacable's CEO, Mr. Enrique Yamune Robles, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, and Mr. Luis Cepet, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be taking your questions during the Q&A session. It is important to mention that any statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to different conditions. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release distributed yesterday. If you did not receive the information and would like to be added to Megacable's mailing list, please contact iAdvise Corporate Communications in New York at 212-406-3691. At this time, Mr. Yamune will begin his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you all for participating in Megacable's call and also for your continued interest in the company. As you know, Megacable has made significant investments in both infrastructure and talent. As a result, we have earned a track record in Mexico of growth and advancement and have demonstrated our strong commitment to ongoing investment. The proposed must-carry, must-offer bill that benefits cable operators such as Megacable offers us the ability to distribute air channels without incurring an additional cost. It is important to note that since the middle of September of this year, the must-carry, must-offer rule is in effect. And Megacable has not paid for the air channels, and we currently are negotiating some of the contract details for the paid television channels of Televisa. Another important item that I would like to mention is that Megacable is currently in the process of migrating all of our 5 megabits per second broadband subscribers to 10 megabits per second, which will allow customers to enjoy faster connection speeds. This is part of our ongoing efforts to provide our clients with the best and most competitive broadband solutions and services. Megacable continues implementing its digitalization program throughout the most important cities of our network. Currently, 11 systems are fully digitalized, and we expect to transition 10 additional ones by year-end. As a result, at the end of the quarter, Megacable added approximately 158,000 digital subscribers compared to the third quarter of 2012. This program, as we have previously discussed, will enable the company to improve video service quality and will leverage additional operating efficiencies via increasing network capacity. At the same time, this program possesses the ability to offer premium packages to subscribers at a lower price. We are also working in the different projects that we have to maintain in our leading positions in the pay TV and the telecommunications market, such as OTT. This service is going to be launched at the beginning of next month. We will offer the service at a promotional rate to all our subscribers in the introductory phase. This service allows all our customers to subscribe to a service in all-you-can-eat mode, to access a library of movies, series, documentaries, and also to the content of the channels we currently carry in our regular programming grid in what is known as a CAPTCHA package. All this is part of our video on demand service. Metro Wi-Fi, that is going to be launched before year end, it will allow our broadband customers to connect to the internet in a series of hotspots installed throughout the city where we offer our service. We extended our coverage with a roaming agreement with our partners in the Yo service, so our customers will be able to connect to their Wi-Fi hotspots and theirs to our network whenever they travel. It will be done through a authentication process. The company continues to deliver excellent results due that we are the most competitive offer in the market. This position allows us to keep investing in the best technologies that will keep us on the top preference and top of mind. Finally, I want to mention the company's dividend. During the third quarter of 2013, A second dividend payment was made for 284 million pesos. If you recall, the first was paid in May of this year for a similar amount to all the shareholders of the stock. This is in line with our objective of maximizing shareholder value as well as providing stock liquidity. Mr. Raimundo Fernandez will now briefly review the key operating highlights for the quarter.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. This quarter, Megacable delivered consistent positive results with revenues growing 10%, exceeding 2.4 billion pesos and EBITDA growth of 16% year-over-year, respectively. These increases were due to the higher sales of bundled service and a higher ARPU per subscriber. During the third quarter, the video and internet segments presented subscriber growth. The broadband internet segment, with the highest achieving net adds of around 100,000 subscribers compared to the same quarter in 2012, representing 12% growth. This was mainly due to the success of the company's back-to-school campaign and the quality of the service provided. On the other hand, video subscribers reported 5% growth when compared to the third quarter 2012, adding 97,000 subscriptions, while the telephony segment reported a 4% increase with 21,000 new subscribers during the third quarter 2013 versus third quarter 2012. This was achieved despite the weather conditions that affected Mexico during the months of August and September, which affected the commercialization of the services. Despite the inclement weather, our sales team did a great job of delivering results over this difficult month despite the adverse conditions. Therefore, the company posted a 6% increase in RGUs year over year, totaling more than 3.6 million units as of September 30, 2013, while unique subscribers totaled more than 2.2 million units, thus increasing RGUs per unique subscribers from 1.59 in third quarter 2012 to 1.60 in third quarter 2013. We consider that today's consumer appetite for high bandwidth applications is enormous. The next wave of personal entertainment is all about being able to get access to video and data content from just about anywhere, at any time and through any device. Therefore, in our continuous pursuit of innovation, we're also exploring new broadband technologies aimed at the more demanding customers with bandwidth-intensive data and multimedia services. These technologies enable the company to incrementally remain competitive and balance revenues with capital investment. For the foreseeable future, most cable networks will leverage the existing investment in HFC, hybrid fiber coaxial, by deploying many of these technologies to meet consumer demand. This is why our network continues to be upgraded to DOCSIS 3.0 to provide the speeds of over 100 megabits. During the third quarter of 2013, Megacable launched a broadband segment marketing campaign to maximize the benefit to the back-to-school season. This included offering new and current subscribers the option to purchase a 7-inch tablet for only 500 pesos or around $40 by signing an 18-month contract or by upgrading to a triple play package. This was the success of that campaign. We're happy to tell you also that our OTT over-the-top service is ready to be launched, like Enrique mentioned before, and we're expected to launch it on November 6th during the Cisco Live event in Cancun. The widespread growth and popularity of OTT content across multiple devices is, we consider, the best way to add value to our subscribers. The real potential and benefit for OTT subscribers is to have access to our outstanding video content beyond like VOD and linear channels on their smartphones, tablets, and personal devices. We will be offering 5,000 hours of video-on-demand content and more than 15 linear and live channels. The company continues to focus on expanding the network by building new kilometers, as well as renewing and enhancing current network kilometers. This enables Megacable to provide newer and enhanced services to a wider audience. Today, the network exceeds 47,000 kilometers with over 6.5 million houses passed, home passed. MetroCarrier and MCM, our business unit target to enterprises, also posted good results and contribute every day to our continuous growth. They both increased around 20% revenue year over year. the national broadband network plus our entire last mile spread across the nation represents a great opportunity for our company. The different vertical markets, such as SMBs, enterprise, government, and carriers, have been benefited from our products and services, from traditional transport, digital lines, telephony, hardware, and managed services as well. That's all for me. At this point, I will turn over the call to Luis Cepeda for the financial review.
Thank you, Raimundo. During this quarter, service income maintained a positive trend, rising 10% to reach 2,425 million pesos versus the 2,257 million pesos reported in 2012. Consolidated EBITDA rose 16% compared to third quarter 2012, reaching 1,064 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 43%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 14% compared to the third quarter of 2012, for a total of 1,027 million pesos in the third quarter of 2013, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 41.5%. Megacable continued to improve operating expenses. Cost of services increased only 3% compared to third quarter 2012, far from the 10% growth in revenue. This is mainly due to the internet cost savings thanks to the GTEC network and savings on the programming cost. Net income totaled 566 million pesos. That means a 23% increase from 2012. Regarding the company's balance sheet, assets, cash, and temporary investment increased approximately 758 million pesos or 26% compared to the third quarter of 2012, including the effects from a $17.5 million loan from Citibank, and despite the dividend payment in November 2012 and May 2013. Megacable continues to generate free cash flow quarter to quarter, nowadays at the pace of 100 to 120 million per quarter, million pesos. Megacable invested 454 million in pesos in third quarter 2013, reaching a total of 1,382 million pesos yesterday, mainly allocated towards the purchase of channel of subscribers, equipment, growth, and modernization of the cable network, as well as the purchase of fixed assets. That's all for our part, and this time we look forward to your questions. Operator, please begin the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We will now take the first question.
The first question is from Andres Coelho from Scotiabank.
Yes, hello, good morning, everyone, and thanks for the call. Enrique, one question. Regarding most of your savings, you said that Megacable stopped paying Televisa as of September 15, if I understand correctly, perhaps a little bit earlier, perhaps September 11. And I just wanted to have an idea of the savings that you obtained from those 15 days, just so that we can extrapolate to, from those savings to the whole of the fourth quarter. And going forward, how, you know, regarding negotiations with Televisa, where are they going in terms of how much you are expecting currently to pay to Televisa for those channels that are not free or not included in the most of the rules? Thank you.
Well, although we are not paying for the programming currently, because we are, since the most of our most carriers rule is in effect, I think it started September 12th or 11th, September 11th. Which is not a good date to remember, but that happened on that date. And we are provisioning part of the amount that we were paying to Televisa according to what we expect or what our offer to Televisa was to pay for their pay television channel, you know, subtracting what the offer channels were. And we haven't reached an agreement, but we decided to provision that in order to have, not to have an impact in case we reach an agreement with them. If we don't reach an agreement with them, obviously we will have to take out their pay television channels, and we already have a substitution for those. We still want to carry the channels of television, the pay television, but we need to reach an agreement. We have an impact with them right now, so that's why we're carrying their channels currently. And I will, you know, the savings we had during the quarter is about 20 million pesos. That's the part of September that we didn't pay, pretty much. And well, we're still negotiating. We still have some meetings next week, but it's getting close to making a final decision on their part, whether they will accept our offer or not. I mean, we think that we have been very, very proactive with them to reach an agreement. You know, we have moved our positions, and we have, you know, they have moved their positions, we have moved ours, and now it's time to reach a definition, whether we're going to reach an agreement or not.
Okay, so let me understand. Those 20 million pesos is the amount that you saved during the second half of September, or those 20 million are what you provision in addition? Say, did you provision for what would have cost you according to your estimations?
Yes, those 20 million are the savings for the month, of September.
Okay, for the whole month of September or only 20 days?
No, that amount is what we expect to have as a savings, and that's what we are in this position is what we expect to have. For the month of September, that they have 20 months. That's 20 minutes.
Okay, so basically you provision 20 million for the content, for what you believe Televisa will charge you. 20 million pesos is the provision. If you do not reach an agreement with Televisa, then your EBITDA would have been 20 million greater than what you reported.
Not 20 million, because 20 million is the savings from that tariff that we were paying, so we don't expect to continue paying the same tariff we were paying to them. So maybe we will not get the 20 million if we don't get, to the agreement on the tariff to the number that we proposed. But certainly we will get some of those 20 million.
No.
Yes, Andres, what we expect to have is that savings. That's what we expect to have. What we did was to be conservative, and like Enrique was saying, we have two scenarios. One is, of course, get an agreement with them, which we haven't reached. We've been negotiating, and we're willing to have an agreement and to carry their pay TV channel. We have different positions, and as I said, and Enrique mentioned, we do not have that yet. The other one is not to have them and have to put other channels and other pay TV channels, which we already have in agreement with other programmers to replace those same things. For that, what we did is to apply pretty much the market price to what we were paying, considering off-air and on-air channels, and we estimate that we should have a savings of 20 million once we have a full month, since we have September 11, you have to take that amount by two-thirds of the month.
That's 15 million.
That's 15 million.
So actually the savings that we are applying to the financial statement for the month of September is 15 million, because it's not the whole month. So if we haven't done that, our expenditures in programming would have been $15 million higher.
Okay, that's more clear. And regarding Azteca, you no longer pay anything to them, right? You are including there the savings to Azteca or only Televisa? You were paying 15 US cents to Azteca, if I'm correct.
With Azteca, we have a different situation. On that part, we did reach an agreement to carry their signals, but the agreement has a ramp up. Incremental cost for
has
in that sense. So the effect on the programming cost, you don't feel it, because what we were really paying for them as of 2013 was not the full amount.
And was not significant.
Was not significant. So Azteca, we are also in conversation with them to see what's going to happen, but really we did not have any pay TV channels from them on our basic and mini basic package, so we do not have an impact on the programming cost coming from them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andres.
Thank you. We will now take the next question. The next question comes from Carlos Legarreta from GBM. Sir, your line is open.
I'm sorry. Thank you, guys, and congratulations for the results. My first question is, given that most offer is perhaps not fully priced in, where do you see EBITDA margins stabilizing next year?
We have, right now, we have been growing our EBITDA margin to around 43%. So we expect to continue on 43.5. That's basically how we see our margins going in the forward.
But it's very conservative to what we have right now. If you know, on the cost of programming, we took 1 day of out of the 30. Azteca did not have an impact on us. So you already feel that pretty much. It's a little bit more taking into account what Enrique was saying for those around 20 million that we can have in savings for the month
right
to come. For the rest, we expect the margin to remain pretty much like we say, and a little bit higher if we can get ARPUs to increase. But you know, market conditions will make us go more aggressive in terms of commercialization of the product. We are launching new campaign for the end of the year and the first quarter of next year with a very aggressive, let's call it lifeline triple play package to lower economic level systems while increasing the HD channel for the offer. So the whole combination, we're targeting to remain the output 3 months where we are with the cost. So look at the same margin if you want to see it, Carlos.
Obviously, this is in a typical year in Mexico. It's not a typical year. It's been very difficult in the economic side. As you know, we are not growing at all in the economy. I think we even have we might have a recession in Mexico. We will end. The growth will be at the end of the year maybe below 1%. If you take into account what happened in the first quarter, that we had a reasonable growth. So these last quarters have been very difficult. We expect the last quarter to be better. And what we decided in the second and third quarter is not to be aggressive in promotions to the subscribers, neither to the system or to the new market. We decided to wait and see what happens with the economy. We will be a different. You know, we will be more aggressive in the third quarter. It's a much better economic quarter, and we expect to regain the growth in subscribers in the fourth quarter.
And we are launching new services at OTT, and we are also going to be able to offer Metro Wi-Fi, which is going to be a very good retainer and a very good differentiator in for our broadband service. And obviously, if we are able, we are very confident we will to regain our subscriber growth at a very good pace. Margins will increase because that volume will give us the possibility of being more productive, yeah, have better productivity in the company, be more competitive, and margins could be increasing, not a lot, but yes, especially due to the savings in programming that we expect to have for next year.
Let me expand a little bit more on that, because I know by the comments, and I know everybody will be wondering, everybody is asking about the growth of subscribers and how that is going to end it in terms of the margin and the growth for the quarters to come. We have very clear that second and third quarter, some of our markets were affected, all of them, by economy, like Enrique is saying. Third quarter, some of them were affected also by the weather, like we were saying. Remember that we need to send crews to install, and we need to send salesmen to the street, to knock door to door. Those systems were affected at that part. And also we have a lower economic conditions in two or three of our regions, that we are making some decisions to adjust to that part, and we have other ones where we're taking better and better outputs on that part. We are launching the new job campaign. It's called Amazon, that brings has a very aggressive package, a triple play package that of course includes internet, telephony, and video. We expect that to be a great reception from our market. Is aggressive enough, but targets to triple play anyway. And we're launching in those systems where the economy has been getting stronger or higher, we launch a much more aggressive triple play package to lower economic levels. We are also for them to get disconnected or to go and not to have the service, and of course it's economic in most of our systems. So we learn on that, and if you can see our churn rate, disconnection rate for the third quarter was very similar or slightly lower than what we had before compared to last year. For a very, very tough year and a very bad quarter in terms of cable for churn, we did not get that back on that part. What we are doing is increasing our promotion efforts, like we're saying, in the job and on the street with marketing, advertising, and very conservative where we are growing really, really, really steady, and much more aggressive where we can. So we expect four quarters to increase in terms of subscribers on that part. And thank you, Carlos, for it.
That's great, thank you. A second question. How does the launch of the OTT services impact your cost structure? Do you have any idea on this? Can you comment, please?
No, it won't affect the cost structure of the company. The CapEx, in terms of CapEx, we already have the investment on that part, and the system is ready, and like Enrique and myself mentioned there, we will do a full press release next week on that part. The system is ready and tied to the Metro Wi-Fi that we have also in all our systems. It's a great solution for people and a competitive advantage to have that OTT SVOD service be able to use in key strategic areas of the cities or the regions, or traveling through the job campaign to be able to use it often. We're planning to charge, and we're charging 75 pesos, which is around $6 for the package, which is very similar to what we charge for the SVOD system for the video subscribers. So one of whoever wants to have interactive SVOD service can have it on the TV with traditional VOD that we already have, that we are increasing in terms of programming hours, and also have the advantage to see it now on the tablets and on the mobile devices that they have when they are off the net outside the home. So we expect that to be very creative, high technology. Not too many companies are ready to have that. I think we're one of the first ones to have it ready operational, not only to be announced, but operational. So we're really happy for that.
That's great. Thank you. And finally, can you comment on the new upcoming telecommunications law, and how does this affect your perspectives on consolidation? Thank you.
Well, the new telecommunications law is still in discussion. Actually, they're still elaborating the project. There's one project of, we believe, one of the government, another one of the Senate. I don't know if they are discussing that, and I suppose they are, with the new IPTEL. And there's been some events yesterday and today. There's an event in Mexico City put together by the Senate where they are discussing the different aspects of the regulation. And we expect the law to pass before year-end. I think it's going to be presented to Congress in this month of November, and it will be voted in December. And it should be approved. How the prayer is coming, we don't really know. I mean, we don't have access to that. But it won't have significant effects, or it won't come significantly different than what it already is in the Constitution. And we expect that it will have the rules for the unbundling of the network of the incumbent, and also the rules for the asymmetric regulation for the incumbents, and also it will have the different aspects of content production and distribution in some aspects, you know, in order to be able to have the landscape ready for the auction of the two networks, two broadcast networks that they are supposed to auction. We don't know when that's going to happen, but we know is that the law should happen before year end, and it won't have significant effects in Megacable other than good news with the unbundling of the local loop and the total network of the incumbent.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take the next question.
The next question comes from Marcelo Santos from JP Morgan.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the question. My first question would be about broadband ARPU behavior in the third quarter. We saw a slight compression. I would just like to have a little bit more color on that, if possible.
Yes, Marcelo. Well, the broadband, as you know, we have a strong growth on the third quarter. That's what puts some pressure on the ARPU, because some of those subscribers are most of them on September, the ones that are on September, they pay you the bill in October. That was what it comes. But we don't expect that to be of any significant effect in the future. Our rate for broadband and the upgrade that we're doing for the speeds that we have will continue to keep customers at the level of ARPU we're looking at, which is around 200 pesos per sub. We should be looking at that amount all the time.
Ah, okay. And thanks for that. And about the weather that hurt the net adds during the quarter, I'd just like to get a better feeling of, how much of the weak adds were because of the economy and how much was due to the weather. If you just could give us also a little bit more color on that, it would be very nice.
We have some, well, the economy affects, we start feeling the economy in some of our markets in the second quarter in terms of reconnection from the subscribers. Like I mentioned, like you can see, our churn is steady, so our subscriber base, we managed to have those subscribers and to go for them. For example, every time we have a weather condition, we have some systems in the north part of Veracruz and some part of the west states where we have to go to them and work with the community, and some of them migrate to a lower service. In the meantime, they recover from them, like Tuxpan and those parts in the north part of Veracruz that I can remember. We normally do things like that. The weather does affect us strong in August and September. Guadalajara has a strong amount of rain, Puebla, of course, Oaxaca, Chiapas, as well as Veracruz, was more than common the number of days that our people cannot go and do what they do best, you know, is knocking door to door in that part. We did not feel a significant decline or a decline in the sales on our offices, for example, or our call center. Which make us believe that this was strong, was really affected by the rain and not that much by our product mix or the economy in general. We expect and we feel that fourth quarter is way better. We have well identified the systems and the regions where we need to make adjustments, and the campaigns I'm telling you make us believe that we can do a turnaround on the subscribers on that part. Wish at the same. I mean, this was also because we really, since second quarter, we start taking away subscribers that just are catching promotions all the time. You know, those guys just take away commission, installers, capacity, revenues, and time of our people on that thing. So we did identify those and were much more conservative in terms of selling to those guys. I don't know if I answered all the questions.
Yeah. Yes, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. We will now take the next question.
The next question comes from Andre Saba from Credit Suisse Mexico.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I was just wondering if you could provide some more color on the strong performance of MTM and Metro Carrier. You know, what kind of business is driving this? Is this a recurring level of higher sales? And also, if you could tell us a bit about how good the margin is of those operations. Thank you.
Sure, Andre. Good for you to mention, and like we talked to some of you guys. We believe it's still the portion of the income or the revenue coming from other sources like MTN and Metro Carrier are not significant to the big results and the big five of Mega Tablet. But we expect that we should be able to keep growth in that segment at 20% year over year like we have there. Hopefully, I don't want to dream about that, but our goal is to increase a little bit more that participation and that growth that we have. The whole telco segment, now that we have the GTAC network, that's our electricity dots of fibers that we got from them, that's our national broadband network, give us a different perspective. So now we can sell transport directly at high capacity to the tier one in the United States, or connect all the offices across the nation with the great advantage that we can also get the last mile in a very efficient way. Not only that, we have invested in those divisions so we can go a little bit further than that with managed services that we didn't used to do. We're in that field now, and also the sales of hardware infrastructure like routers, switches, and all the telco equipment that they have. We're getting into those areas with MTM in Mexico City being strong on transport and telephony, which was the main reason to have it there. So we're making a good combination. We have all the verticals in that part, like I said in my speech at the beginning. We have very clear that the more we go on the regions, the more that we can target commercial segments like SMBs and municipal government, you know, local government, you know. In the other segment, we have corporate and enterprises, and we have a state and federal government that we have services to them too. Through our partnership with carriers and directly, we can go to those markets. So we're very excited, and believe me that we have two hats on this part. The Metro Carrier and the MTM is very different from what we do here, but the heart of the network that we have with the 100 megabits and the DOCSIS 3.0 give us the possibility to provide good service on DOCSIS, very flexible to those SMBs, and of course fiber, we provide all the different speeds that you can have. So we're investing also in our national headends to have a space also for data centers and cloud services. Our cloud services should be launched by the beginning of next year, probably, hopefully, December, but for sure will be January. So they can complement what we have right now in terms of transport and hardware and managed services. So you can find in us the whole portfolio for the business segment, from the micro SMB to the high corporate, you know. And our satisfaction surveys that we have done with customers we already have tell us that we are on the right track. They are very satisfied with Metro Carrier and MTN, with the quality of service we're providing. And, well, what else can I tell you? You know, as you can see, I'm very, very excited to the possibility of that segment.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Do you have any color on the, you know, how long-term the contracts with these corporates and the governments are?
Normally what we have is a three-year contract. That's pretty much the common. The smaller the business or the segment or the subscriber, the customer, well, the less time they require. If you go to a fiber contract, of course we require a three-year contract if they don't want to pay the install fee. If they want to go to a year, they have to pay an install fee. That's common practice in the industry. When you go to something that is coaxial in a DOCSIS 3.0, it's a lot easy and simple for the company, because our infrastructure is already next in front of the business, so our CapEx is very, very, very low compared to any other company that can provide or would like to provide that. You know, also DOCSIS 3.0 does allow us to provide high speed on the upstream, not only the downstream, so we can compete very much to the fiber with a very, very good combination of down and upstream. So it's a very, very, very good product that we have there.
Many thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. We will now take the next question.
The next question is from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions. The first would be if you could share with us any thoughts on the potential impact that the proposed fiscal reform could have on Mega's results. That's the first question. Thank you.
The impact from the law on the Mega results. The law, the communications law, Mega
results. Well, obviously, as you know, we have an MVNO with Telefonica that is not really appealing for this. The tariff we can apply to the public is not appealing, and we decided that we maintain that MVNO is a very small one, and we expect that with the new law on the mandatory
obligation, you can say that for the incumbent to unbundle and open and unbundle their network, a new scenario will be open for MVNOs like that. So we think that we have a good opportunity in telephony and to bundle our fixed telephony with mobile telephony and also with the metro Wi-Fi network that we are deploying. That's where we're investing the money in our Wi-Fi. One of the reasons to invest money in the Wi-Fi network that we are deploying. That's one implication, one very good opportunity that is going to be out there for us. Also, we will have the opportunity to, be able maybe to buy better content for us because since we will have some extra money, programming money to buy other content that could be syndicated, sporting events that will be sold to our customers in a BOD or pay-per-view or other modalities like in our OTT service and make us more competitive in the content side. Pretty much, I think that's the first implication that we see in the new telecommunications law. We don't know what else is going to be provision by the regulator regarding competition, because as you know, the IFETEL now regulates competition in the telecom side and telecom and broadcast side. That it's not going to be regulated by the antitrust commission, Mexican antitrust commission anymore. It's going to be, it's already in the field of the new IFETEL. Those are the first two big impacts that I see in Megacable, and all of them are positive impacts.
Understood, Enrique. Thank you very much. What about the proposed fiscal reform? Is there any impact that you see coming from that for Megacable, particularly considering the tax benefits that Megacable has? Is there anything we could see from the fiscal reform that could impact Megacable?
Obviously, there is an impact. I mean, everyone is going to be impacted. It has an impact with that reform. It's not positive. But the main one is that we don't have the possibility anymore to do the accelerators deduction of investment in assets. We will have to look other ways of to offset that. We're looking at that. We're looking at reform. We're looking at our options. But it apparently will impact our tax rate. So far, we're waiting for the end of the movie. It's still discussed in Senate. But apparently, we will have an impact due to the stop of the immediate deduction of the investments.
Okay, thank you very much. And my last question is related to the most current most offer. Is it correct to assume that you currently assign a fair price of around 75 cents of a dollar to Televisa's free-to-air channels?
Pretty much, around that. We would like to disclose that. It's kind of confidential, but the math is not that difficult to do.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take the next question. The next question is from Homero Ruiz from Signum Research.
Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. Well, I want
to know
if you have any expanding plans on your network for the next year. I understand CFE Telecom will be offering 60 kilometers of optic fiber that could complement your network. Do you plan to participate?
No, Omar, this is Raimundo. What we have is a full network related with the GTAC. We're already over the same trains that CFE Telecom is going to be. We don't think that we should be
we should have to get into that because our capacity can, we have 1.2 terabytes of capacity so far on that network. And we're also investing where to other trenches where that network is not there. We're doing and closing rings of our network to include populations and significant areas that make sense for the whole company to have there or for the business segment that we have. We right now are connected to Guatemala and all the way to the north part of Mexico. So for us, I don't know if you want to say something there.
No, GitTac is a very fine network that we have. I mean, we share with Televisa and Telefonica, and we currently have 1.1 or some around one, you know, a little bit over 1 terabyte. Of capacity, but I mean we're using about 10% of that, 12%. No, yeah, and for capacity. And in case in the good problem that we're you know coming to the saturation of that network, because that would be a very good problem, you know, I would like to have it. Is we can triple the capacity with the existing technology. We get a change of technology. It's not a great investment to do, and we can really be, you know, still be competitive. We don't. I mean, we still have to do some fiber, you know, links to do some rings and collect traffic, but not really long distance. I mean, if there's, you know, short distances, like, you know, 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers, 75, which is cities, in between cities, and or small towns where we need a larger capacity, but it's not great investment. It's a complementary network for the GPEG network.
Okay, thank you very much. And another last question. I noticed that the expansion of your network was a little was not like last year. This year you expanded like 500 kilometers. Last year you expanded like 800 kilometers. Could you expand on that?
Yes, Omero. Well, what we've seen so far is that as you know, the big builder. Companies like Omex, Geo, Urbi, Ara, Sare are not in very good shape, if you want to call it that way. So we saw that there is a constraint in the number of housing that is being built in those levels. Of course, we were much more conservative in those terms because the number of habitats of people that were actually living in those houses, we saw that they were not as well as we were expecting, so we restrain a little bit the growth on those segments. We depend a lot on the economy. We have good services and good growth in some central parts of Mexico on that, and we slow on those areas that is being hit by the economy, like the southwest, southeast part of our country, or the Gulf of Mexico in that sense. So that's the reason. We always kept a very very close eye on all the investments from all the regions. We authorize and we see the return on those investments. And if we don't make if it doesn't make any sense, we constrain where it makes sense to be constrained. But it's an economic situation on that. It's not something that Megacable change at this point. We expect that to come back to normal for next year. And we will always grow at the pace of, you know, population and housing.
Yeah, but, and also we grew in the last 12 months around 3,000 kilometers of the network. So we expect to grow between 3,000 and 38,000 kilometers every 12 months.
3,800,
sorry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take the next question. We have a follow-up question from Andres Coelho at Scotiabank.
Yes, thank you, and thanks for taking the follow-up. Regarding the how much you were paying Televisa, I just heard another question. You said 75 cents for the price of the free-to-air channels or for the price of the non-free-to-air channels?
What we expect to pay is somewhere around... What we're looking, Andres, is to pay for those 10 pay TV channels that they offer to us a fair market price on that part. And we estimate that market price should be for a package of 10 channels around that price. That's our position, which we believe is fair, is in line with our with all we have talked to Televisa in terms of the, of course we want to carry their channel. They are a local content producer, and we partner with them in other segments. But we will not pay what the market cannot consider a fair market price for that. And that's what we are right now, and that's what we're putting in the numbers, to have something around that neighborhood so we can continue to have a good and fair programming cost.
Okay, no, it makes sense. So it's 75 cents for the 10 non-free-to-air channels. Okay, it makes sense. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you, Yungu.
Thank you. We will now take the next question.
Hello, the next question comes from Herminio Padruno at GBM Global.
Hi, Enrique, Raimundo, Luis Antonio. Congratulations on your results, and thank you for taking my question. First, and I'm sorry to return to this point because I know it was already asked, but I just want to see if I got it correct. The $20 million in savings you had in the month of September, were they from the must-offer law, or were they from not carrying Televisa's pay TV channels? And second, if I may, just have a better understanding of your strategy going forward. Are you going to privilege subscriber growth through more aggressive promotions, or are you going to privilege ARPUs by being more selective on which kind of subscribers you have to your client base? Thank you very much.
Okay, the first question, Arminio, and thank you for asking. The first question is those savings, those $15 million that we saved in September with provisional savings, are for not carrying the other channels on that part. So what we left on our cost is what we think that we should be paying and what we foresee that it's a fair amount to be paid for a pay TV package from Televisa, or, you know, if we need to put different programming, something that is conservative, and we put us on that side, you know. We want to carry the channels, and that's the amount that we kept there, but, you know, if we don't, well, at least we have provision that far, and we were fair with the market, taking only the off-air on the cost. On the second one, we will always look for a balance. We want to be a company that grows with the market, that continues to increase RGUs, and therefore the ARPU per unique subscriber that we have, being an efficient company. But you know, if the condition makes us be more aggressive on the marketing and sales and the effort that we have, we will do that. What I can tell you is that we will look for those numbers and make the right balance on the company of ARPU and EBITDA margins. Right now, we were able to post in a very bad economy, post what we consider good financial results. By looking at the market, that identifying what was not making the company be efficient, you know, even though we have to sacrifice a little bit of what we perceive subscriber growth, the way we see it is that we have some potential subscribers that were just rotating on the company without providing any good results for anybody here. What we see now is that identifying those segments, we can continue to provide the numbers that we have by increasing a little bit the promotion. For example, the triple play packages that we're launching are very low in terms of of kind of ARPU, but they are only be able to be purchased on a triple play. What I'm saying is that even though we can or we make offer in some markets a low price on a per product, they will go tight on a triple, so our ARPU per subscriber will be very close because we have the good RGUs. That's pretty much what we look on that. So try to think that we will be balanced in terms of growth and margin.
Perfect. Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate your time today, and thank you for your insightful questions. Please contact us as always if there is any further doubts or concerns about the company or the operations or any future plans. And we really appreciate your interest in the company and all your questions. Thank you very much, and have a nice week.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.